Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? 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 Hello, hello?
Hello? You probably heard that your show will start. Hello?
Hi, this is Dr. John Jaquish. I was supposed to call in for a show right now.
Yes, I'm Adrienne Berg. I'm the host. And you're calling exactly correctly. Let me take down the title. You're Dr. John, and you pronounce it Jaquish.
Jake Wish, no. Like Jake and Wish.
Okay. Jake Wish. And what title would you like to use?
I'm a doctor of biomedical engineering.
Okay, where is your practice?
Oh, I'm a researcher.
Okay, and your research institute is?
It's in California, in San Francisco.
Okay. Name of it? I was just actually at the Buck Institute.
Hey, yeah, I've done work there. I love those guys. Beautiful
okay.
facility.
It's a gorgeous facility. It's an IMP building. We had Dr. Kennedy on a couple of weeks ago.
Oh yeah, okay. I know him.
Right. And the research organization is the institute?
Oh, I'm on my own. Jake Wish Industrial Research, but that's not really important. I design different medical devices and then license them to manufacturers, and then I do research to increase efficacy and awareness, and then I present it in medical conferences for the different technologies.
Right. Okay. And let's see what else. Is there a website that you want to direct anybody to?
Yeah, you should have them go to osteostrong, OSTEOSTRONG,
right.
.me.
Okay, very good. All right, so we're going to talk about osteoporosis. We're going to do that for about half an hour. There's going to be a couple of breaks in between. You'll hear some music. I'll introduce the show. I'll send people to a couple of things that I send them to. And we'll talk.
Sure.
My only problem today is that I have, and you can hear it, and my listeners will hear it, a terrible voice, but we'll be fine if I don't really start coughing. That's the only thing I
okay.
can tell my guest today. Yeah, if I get
sure.
into a jag, we may have a little issue, but
well you can mute it and I'll
edit.
I can run with
yeah.
it.
Exactly. Okay, so we'll start with what is osteoporosis? We'll talk about the bone exercises that you talked about, the pressure, the myths,
yep.
just as it was set out by your PR folks, the common myths and mistakes, and I'm sure we'll have a great show. Okay?
Terrific.
Very good. And I just want to say one more time your last name. Jaquish.
No.
Jaquish.
Like Jake.
Jaquish. Got it. I got it.
Wish.
Okay, Jaquish. Okay. We're ready. Stuart, we are ready,
ready
to go. Let's hear some music, and you'll hear music. Yep.
Do you think it starts at the top of the hour or the half hour?
I'm going to stop at the top of the hour. Start at the top of the hour.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
He sees hair on his head and not on his shoulders. And this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth. The fountain of truth about what? The fountain of truth about successful aging. And we have a very special challenge for my listeners today. I'll tell you about that. You'll be able to get free of charge one of the hottest financial books around. And also beat out all the other listeners of all the other shows on our BizTalk syndicated radio. And, of course, we're going to deal with the issues of aging, the kinds of things that you really ought to know, what is true and what is not true. And, of course, one of the issues that particularly women, but now more and more men, are understanding, that bone health is important to them. So we're going to start with a doctor who is a biomedical engineer researching in the field of osteoporosis, and he's going to separate some myths from truths for us and give us the kind of advice we need so that we are straight and strong all of our life. And if you're hearing that I'm sounding a little bit different than I usually do, it's because I have one of those flus that are going around. It's all over except for the lousy voice. So I know I have two extremely articulate guests today. I'm very lucky to have that because they're going to run with it, believe me. So for those of you who are interested in receiving a free book, this is the first time we're offering this. It's called Fear Factor, False Evidence Affecting Your Retirement. And it was just published by Ronald Gilak, who is a five-star wealth manager in New Jersey and in California, actually licensed throughout the country, with offices also in Florida, and myself. So it's my latest book. It's my 14th book. And you can get it absolutely free by simply downloading it at the website ronaldgilakandassociates.com/bookoffer. Ronald Gilak, G-E-L-O-K, and associates.com/bookoffer. But it's a contest, and I'm going to tell you later. I'm going to let you be in suspense as to who you are competing against and why. But this book is your prize no matter what. You just go to ronaldgilakandassociates.com/bookoffer. So we're here with a doctor who, as I explained before, is a researcher in the beautiful city of San Francisco. And he creates industrial devices. He makes presentations to other doctors and, I'm sure, facilities to help us keep our bone health. One of the things I'm going to go right ahead with Dr. Jaquish is, what is osteoporosis? Dr. Jaquish, thank you so much for being with us.
Adrian, thank you for having me.
And go right ahead. What is osteoporosis? We think we know, but we may not know. So what is it?
Well, if you look at the Latin root of the word, it means porousness in the bone. Osteo is bone, and porosis, the porosity. So, like, imagine when you look at bone material, it kind of looks like a honeycomb.
Yes.
There's small walls holding, conjoining, where that's where the nuclei of all the bone cells are. And when you have osteoporosis, the walls become thin or begin to disappear. And this is a process that is based on action on the bone. So similar to a muscle, the more action you place on the muscle, the more it is stimulated to develop and protect itself. The less stimulus you put, the less dense the bone is. And that's the essence of how osteoporosis starts. Now, there's a lot of other factors, dietary, environmental, some are even biomechanics. When someone changes their heel strike as they get older, so those factors impact someone's bone health. But basically, it's just the loss of density in bone.
Yeah, you know, I was over and I was talking to the doctor before that I was over in Napa, not too far from his territory, a couple of weeks ago, and one of the other doctors that was speaking at the conference was Dr. Roizen, and he'll be on our show very soon. But one of the things that he said was jump up and down 40 times every single day, and that's good for bone health. Can you explain why that would be? Is that what you were explaining before, that that you have to put some pressure on the bones, like a muscle where you have to exercise?
Well, yes. That there, I understand where he's getting that reference. So there's a research study recently that looked to identify how much force is required. Now, I developed my medical device 10 years ago, and I didn't know what the minimum threshold for bone growth was, but I did know that what we were doing with fitness equipment,
yes,
wasn't doing it, because there are plenty of people who exercise who still have osteoporosis, even with weight. So the idea that higher weight or exercise does something, or I meet people all the time that tell me, oh, I don't have to worry about osteoporosis, I walk every day. And so I know that isn't necessarily relevant, but some researchers out of Bristol, the United Kingdom, attached accelerometers to a group, to a broad population test groups, multiple ages, and then they looked at blood tests. They looked at bone markers within the blood to determine who was building bone and who wasn't, and then those who were building bone, what type of impact did they receive? Now, the doctor, was it Rosen?
Yes, Dr. Rosen.
So Dr. Rosen, what he got out of that study is not quite right. It's not a matter of how many times how many loading cycles you go through. It's how high the load is one time.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you need to exceed 4.2 multiples of body weight. So if you think about your body weight, you multiply that by 4.2, that is the relevant level of loading to trigger osteogenesis. Now, here's the problem. So much recommendation has been given, whether it's impact, like jumping, or non-impact. There's never been a dose associated with the loading that's been recommended. So, Adrian, when you look at an osteoporosis education website, let's say National Osteoporosis Foundation, they'll recommend calcium, which has a dose associated, vitamin D, which has a dose associated. Nobody takes 5 grams of calcium. So then in resistance exercise, but there's no dose associated with that. So does a 2-kilogram dumbbell, that's resistance, does that do something? So this study sought to actually identify what the relevant dosage was, and it's 4.2 multiples of body weight. The problem with that is someone needs to be able to drop from an elevated platform that is greater than 15 inches to get that 4.2 multiples of body weight.
So they have to jump more than a foot.
Well, I say drop instead of jump, because what people do is they jump 2 inches and then they pull their feet up and put their feet down. That's not the same.
Correct.
Yeah. So being able to tuck your legs is not a jump height. So a 15-inch drop is that's a serious impact.
It sure is.
And you wouldn't have an adult, like unless it's a highly athletic adult, you wouldn't have them do that.
We also have ankle strength problems and that sort of thing. It's almost impossible.
It's all part of the same kinetic chain, right. And it would be very irresponsible for a therapist to have someone do this.
So we're going to talk about some of the devices, some of the other things that you have that may be able to allow us with assistance, Dr. Ickwish, to actually do this and make a difference. In a moment or so, before we have to take our first break, I just want to ask you, though, I want to play the gender card. When we come back, we're going to talk about some things we can really do, not just jump up and down 2 inches. Why do we always talk about osteoporosis with regard to women? Is there a greater propensity for that honeycomb to get thinner with women than men?
Yes. Yes, it's 1 out of 3 females will be affected by this, and about 1 out of 5 to 1 out of 7 males. So it is more of a female problem.
Right.
Menopause affects that too. Yeah.
I see. That makes a sense, the change.
Yeah.
But I do know that more and more men are paying attention to this as well. And I also know that as we increase our longevity, which is what this show is all about, we have to turn our attention to osteoporosis, because there's nothing worse than weak bones, stooped posture, inability to do the kind of walking that Dr. Jake Wish was talking about a moment ago. And you know that we love to walk, but I'm sorry to hear that that alone doesn't do it for us.
You may think
when we come back, we'll find out what does. Don't go away.
That doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so that was very good. You see where we're going with it. And we're going to go right back on to another segment. Stuart, how many minutes will we have on this one? Well, about under 9 minutes. And it's our last segment. Right, Stu? Is this our last? Yeah, for on this topic. But I'm going to go right into your should I call them discoveries, or what would you call your research results?
I invented a device.
Oh, good.
That
reverses. Okay, good. We're going to go right into
that. I don't talk about brand names or anything. I'm a scientist, so I'm unbiased.
Okay.
But I talk about the general loading of the body and results that we've seen based on the stimulus.
Good. So then, and we'll have plenty of time, and we'll discuss that. And I will also send them to osteostrong.me. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Good. We can get started, Stuart.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And if we want to be inappropriate for our age, we want strong bone health. We are here today with Dr. John Jakewish, who is helping us with that. He explained what osteoporosis is, why it's discussed more with women, why simply jumping up and down or walking. And you know that I invite you to free walkers all the time. We're doing 87 miles in England in May. And we encourage walking, but it's not enough. And we're going to go back to the doctor in a moment and see what might be enough, because he is an inventor, a discoverer, and a biomedical engineer. I just want to remind you that we have a contest, and I promised you I'd tell you what the contest was about. Listen to this one. For the first time, BizTalk Radio is gathering a house list so that discounts, newsletters, and information could go out to you. I want my listeners to have the biggest presence on that list. And so I'm rigging it. Yes, I am rigging it. I'm giving you all a free copy of my latest book. You can go on Amazon. You can pay $20 for it, but why would you want to do that? This is the up-to-date book that brings together everything about retirement reality. It's called Fear Factor, False Evidence Affecting Your Retirement, 15 minutes to an ideal program for yourself. We work very, very hard on it. It's also interactive. It has online webinars that it leads you to, all kinds of calculators. You really get yourself into shape. And you know that this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth. And Fear Factor, False Evidence Affecting Your Retirement, unravels a lot of those falsehoods. I just want you to know that we were just chosen by Market Watch because of our wonderful chapter on how not to get blindsided after retirement. So, how do you get it free? Just go to ronaldgelockandassociates.com/bookoffer. Ronald Gelock, G-E-L-O-K, and Associates, all written out, .com/bookoffer. And let's win the contest. Let's have the most listeners on our house list. So, let's go back to the doctor. Dr. Jakewish, you first set up a problem, which is jumping up and down, doing weightlifting, walking isn't enough for osteoporosis. Now come up with the solution as you've been researching.
That's right. Thank you, Adrian. I'll start off with a short story. When I was in undergraduate,
I came home from school, and my mother, like most students, I came home to get something to eat and to get my laundry done. And so I came home, and I could tell my mom was upset, so my priorities changed pretty quickly. And she said, "Oh, I'm going to die." And my mother's dramatic, so I'd heard that before. And so I said, "Why do you think that, Mom?" And she said that, "Well, doctor told me I have osteoporosis, and I learned that I have a 50% chance of death if I have a hip fracture over 50 years old. And that's a true statistic." And so doctor put incredible fear in her and wanted to prescribe her some medication that she didn't want to take. She's been kind of a non-medication kind of person. And so I said, "Let me look into this." And that's when I started doing my research, when I started looking at high impact and what that does. And so what I created was what I call an impact emulation device. So that 15-inch drop I talked about?
Yes.
Let's create a device. My task to myself was, I want to create a device that creates the highest possible loads going through the musculoskeletal system that would normally be associated with impact. So these loading events get absorbed into bone. The bone actually becomes deformed. So if you think about your femur bone and you squeeze it from end to end, it actually alters in length in a very brief period of time. When the bone springs back to its natural position, all those cells inside are stimulated to pull in minerals and make the bone more powerful. So I did exactly that. I created a device that puts individuals in positions where they would naturally absorb high-impact force and then allowed them to self-load. So I first started treating my mother within 18 months of starting the protocol. She went from full-blown osteoporosis back to healthy bone, and she was in her 70s.
That's really remarkable. I just want to send people to a website. One of the problems with a radio show is we have these wonderful guests on with so much rich information, and then, of course, the show is over. So most of our listeners really do like to go to websites, and you should take a look at osteostrong.me, O-S-T-E-O, strong. .me for more information, because I know we're not going to have enough time with Dr. Jaquish. But please do go on there, and you'll get more and more information. Now, is this readily available? Would we find these in spas or health clubs or doctor's offices?
Well, there's a chain of clinics around the country called OsteoStrong, which you just mentioned, where these devices are available for people to go and use.
And these are dedicated to bone health.
That's right. That's right. They're specifically about bone health. So they work a little bit on functional strength to get people strong enough to be able to balance themselves. Balance specifically. So there's some balance protocols too, because remember, fall prevention is also fracture prevention. But then also they're using the device I designed to grow more powerful bone. And this works for people of all ages. I've met individuals over 100 years old who have used the device, who have increased their bone density.
You know, it is remarkable, and it is really, truly problematic. Before we leave you, though, you did say a magic word, and that was calcium. You said you go to, you know, one of the websites, and you'll see a dosage. At the same time, is there a recommendation for calcium? If we go to an OsteoStrong clinic, will we get any kind of guidance with regard to vitamins and minerals for bone health?
Adrian, you asked the question of the day. So there's a big meta-analysis was done. A meta-analysis is a conglomeration of all research on one subject to try and mathematically figure out what the real answer is. And it determined that calcium supplementation doesn't do anything for fracture prevention. Now, the problem with that conclusion is that calcium is a building block. And when I speak at whether it's a medical congress, and I'm actually going to the World Congress on Osteoporosis to present some new data in Spain in a few weeks. When I go and speak at these groups, some of the individuals, even some of the pharma researchers, they don't really look at physical interventions. This is called a physical medicine intervention. So I explain, like, if you want to break this down to a very simple analogy, if you think about a weightlifter and you think about protein, the weightlifter takes in extra protein and they lift weights and they build muscle. If they stopped lifting weights but just took in the protein, what would happen?
Nothing. They wouldn't have extra
calories.
That's right.
Right. That's
you
right.
Know.
They'd probably get fat. That's probably
yeah,
what would happen.
I have to go back to my complaint about the show, which is it's always too short. But I want to send everybody to OsteoStrong, OsteoStrong.me, because there may be such a center near you, and if
you
there isn't, because of the importance of it, I'm sure there'll be one soon. Thank you, Jackson, and Dr. Jake Wish. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Adrian.
And
thank
I freely
you.
Admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
The whole hour. Okay, so let me push this on. Find out what they have. And remember this, we have to pay the mortgage and...
Yes, I know everything. What is it that you ask?
I think the bottom line is we have to take, let's say, $10,000 from Pioneer.
Yeah, move it over there
and
let's sit.
Let's move it there because even if we get somebody, you remember from last time, the first 2 months, they pay for their upfront.
Okay, good. So let me call them.
Second is, we want to rent a place. We want to rent a place. The file, I'm getting all the information on that. It's not that expensive. It's getting cheaper and cheaper every time I...
What is your question?
My question is, I would like to rewrite and Christine says the line, how they've listed this thing.
Okay. Go ahead and do that. You don't need me for that.
Okay.
Oh, and I think if you want me to do it, you're long enough to do it. First of all, I can't do that. Second,
what I was going to say to you, though, is...
Yeah, but you should always say what you're going to say. Second.
I think we have to think about how it's pricing right. So what I want to do was, I want to advise it, and I'll quote it around the way, in a step way. So I want to be sure that no matter what we price it at, it covers all expenses. So I have to get a better idea.
Good. So here's the way you can do that. When you call them, you also ask them, in addition to how much money we have, you also ask them how much it is in month, so that we have an idea how much we have.
Everything is. That's right.
Yeah, but I don't want you to pick your words. I want you to be direct and clear. This is what I want you to do.
As you know, I'm not direct and clear with anything or anyone. That's the hardest thing for me.
I know. I know. So just because it's hard for you, doesn't
it? You have to specify it? I
understand.
But you know what I'm asking.
No, I don't.
No, is it clear enough now? I don't know.
Ron is writing about a mandatory meeting for Monday morning on managed accounts, AUM.
Yeah, but he knows.
But I'm just going to remind him that, we have.
I told him that April 9th or something.
Yeah, yeah, I'm coming.
Okay.
But the voice. Yeah, it's not so good because I had a radio show today, but that's okay. I did it anyway. I'm calling for a couple of reasons, mostly for Joan. Is she in, by the way? Yeah, I mean, this is not for you. You can listen too. But I hope she will chuckle, but put her on. Hi, how are you? Well, I'm feeling much, much better, really, actually all better except my voice. And every once in a while I go into a coughing fit. It's generated by a tickle, and then it just keeps going. But apparently that's the way this is done. So I'm calling you because you're going to get an apologetic phone call. Are you ready? Okay. Yeah, I know. So here's what happened. I get an email. Got to bring a piece for right. And we have the piece. I should call you and say, oh, schedule the rest of the appointment. So I wrote back, scathing. And I wrote to a lot of people. I said, look, first of all, the client's annoyed to begin. If you ever want to give me an email, I can show you. First of all, the client is annoyed to begin. Second of all, you keep calling her husband, who's on hold. And now you say you're missing a piece, which I didn't. Apparently, you know this. Okay. Right. And so apparently, we spoke to somebody's supervisor, and the result I shook a lot of stuff up. And they called back, and they weren't. They're not the insurance company, they're the exam one. And they said, we're so sorry, we have this franchisee, maybe drop the ball, we apologize. We'll stop calling Warren, we'll apologize to Joan, and we'll still have to take that part of the test. And I said, okay. Then they said to me, this is the part that you made sure. They said, you know, she did it, she got 10 out of 10. Out of the mental acuity test, we haven't seen this before. I said, well, I'm not surprised. I mean, I know her. And I said, what? How did she get such a good? She said, she drew a beautiful clock. Did you have to draw a clock? Apparently, it's not a legend there. So I don't know. to ask people to do something of that type. Oh, really? Right. Huh. The programs for people and what they should be doing, but I never do the application for that. Now you know what I'm talking about. So this. Believe it or not, in my closet, because I had typhoid fever, and I had to use it to expand my lungs. But anyway, they will call, they will apologize, and they will ask me to see if that's what's going to happen. But they will apologize. Meanwhile, how are you guys?
progress in the right way. There's no forget about this. Now, Minnesota has the whole thing on hold. That's why they interceded in space. They're the ones that went through Sam 1 and read the Riot Act, because they're the ones who hired them.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Paul?
This is, yes.
Yes,
hi.
Paul, this is Stuart. Hang on for Adrian. We're going to get recording right away. Hang on.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, is this Adrian?
Hi, how are you? Yes, how are you?
Oh, hi, how are you?
I am good. We have a half an hour of of airtime, so we should schmooze afterwards for a few minutes,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's fine. That would be great.
But what I want to know is, how do you want me to introduce you?
You can introduce me as probably the editor of the Elders Newsbeat at New America Media.
Wait.
And if you want to add at some point that I also head up the Journalist Network on Generations and put out the GBONews.org.
Too fast. I got to write this down too fast. Wait.
Sure.
So, editor.
Yeah, I said it to you actually last night, but that's.
Yeah, I know. You have it there. Well, he's. Yeah,
so
we're
I've got
at
two hats.
Yeah. Editors of Elders. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm the editor of the Elders Newsbeat.
Right.
At New America Media. And you can ask me what New America Media is, and I'll tell people.
What,
yeah.
And
then
the other
hat is that I head the Journalists Network on Generations.
Right.
And that and put out their e-newsletter, GBO, Generations Beat Online. News, GBONews.org.
Okay, we're good.
And that goes, and you could say that goes to 1,000, over 1,000 journalists in the United States.
Fantastic. Okay.
On anything.
I'm ready to go, and this will be a cinch, and then we'll talk afterwards. Okay.
Okay.
Stuart, go ahead.
You may think that I'm full of it. Doesn't bother me, not even a bit, 'cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And we are back, and this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And I promised you two of the most articulate guests I've ever had. We just learned a great deal about osteoporosis, because that's one of the things that we do think about as we age. But you may wonder, week after week, month after month, where I get the ideas and the stories behind Generation Bold. Well, if you don't know, there is such a thing as an age beat journalist, and we have the man himself, Paul Kleeman, who is editor of Elders Newsbeat at New America Media, and we'll talk to him about that. But he's also head of the Journalist Network on Generations, and one of the things that I do religiously as I read his newsletter, because that's where I learn who's writing, where the authors are, what the articles are, what the trends are, and really what's in the news about aging. And Paul, thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to connect with you, and thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I think, you know, we always deal with different topics of aging that have to do with our daily life, but the news of aging gets obscured a lot. I think it gets buried a lot. I'm on a big campaign, as you are, to make it upfront, and many of the listeners don't know there is such a thing as AgeBeat, and some of the other things that you work on, not only about aging. So let's start first with, you're the editor of Elders Newsbeat at New America Media. What's that all about?
That's right. New America Media is a national news service. We're an outgrowth of, some people may remember, Pacific News Service. And but we are specifically focusing, we're like the Associated Press, except that we're the AP for the ethnic news media in the United States. And it's another one of these under-the-radar venues in the United States. In fact, there are 3,000 different news organizations focusing on their ethnic communities throughout the United States, and that ranges from everything as very large, like Univision, which people have heard about in this very actively in this election campaign, and they have many local affiliates around the country, to things like the Irish Echo in New York City, the Vietnamese press in the country, or the Native American and African American press. So those are often smaller local or regional publications. And what we do as a news service like the AP, and a lot of people don't know that the AP does this, it's one of its main functions is to train journalists and help them understand different beat areas, different news areas that they would have to otherwise seek out and dig into on their own to figure out what are the issues, what are the angles, and who are the experts I can call when a story like Medicare or Social Security, in our case, flares up.
New media only papers, or does it include the ethnic press?
Oh, no, it's everything. Yeah. In fact, we actually work quite a bit with NPR stations around the country, from KUT in Texas to WBAI in New York City to stations out here in California, as well as some of the mainstream media publications and websites. And it's all everything. You know, today, even broadcast, I'm sure you know this, radio and TV are print media if you go online, and because so many of them have stories, written stories that appear on their websites related to what they broadcast.
Sure. I mean, everything is fungible now. You watch TV and you can hear the soundtrack on the radio station, on satellite radio, and then you can read the blog. So it's all there. Now, you know, you get so many different articles and journalists crossing your path. Let's just concentrate for a moment on the current election, just for what's trending. We don't have to get political, but trending issues for aging. What have you seen?
Well, I think this has been an unusual campaign in the last few years. And, you know, I have to say, this is the first time really since the last election, the last 8 years, the idea of strengthening Social Security has actually gotten into mainstream discussions. Nationally, and I know you know, Adrian, for many, many years, both Democrats, centrist Democrats and Republicans, that whenever Social Security or Medicare even got into the news, it was always about how much to cut to save them for some distant future, as if shooting ourselves in the foot today will make us run faster tomorrow. Really, there has been a concerted effort by advocates in Washington, D.C., a group particularly I'm sure you know of, Social Security Works in Washington, has now been working on for several years, and they have been remarkably successful. So I, have to say they have really gotten people like Elizabeth Warren and certainly Bernie Sanders to at least, and whatever your audience members think of, whoever they're favoring, it's at least gotten the debate raised so that it's not just about what to cut and how to cut Social Security or raise the retirement age, but how to actually focus on the people Social Security was designed for, people, the other half, not just the have-nots, but people especially in the financial strain of today's economies, people considered in the middle class, above poverty, who have trouble making those expenses, making ends meet with rising costs and so on. So, they're talking about actually strengthening the programs, and that's gotten into the national discussion. So for me, that's been really, a great thing to tap into and write about.
Now, you're also the head honcho over at Journalists Network on Generations. And aside from explaining that to us, I sometimes think about, as a journalist myself, how isolated we could be. And I wonder how many are getting, particularly the young ones, getting devoted to the issues of demographic journalism. Could you explain that a little bit and tell us where that's trending?
Well, yeah, it's a great question, Adrian. And I've been very pleased just to explain the Journalist Network on Generation. We brought it to a bunch of us met at the American Society on Aging conference, covering the conference back in 1993 in the early 90s, It was an annual conference. And a bunch of us got together for cheap Hungarian food. It was in Chicago at a little restaurant. We're journalists. We can eat, and usually on the cheap. And we were sitting in this restaurant, and a group of the reporters started saying, we need a way to connect with each other because we're isolated in our cities all over the country, in our newsrooms. And you know, so as things devolved, I said, oh, okay, I'll help to get it started. And so, you know, and the issue of the reason is, I mean, if you're a listener, your listeners probably have whatever professions they were in. They have their professional groups.
Right.
And there are many, many professional groups in the field of aging to, you know, that are often based, usually based around what the concerns and the issues are that you
cover. But they're advocacy groups, and most of them are
well,
in one place, like
it's more
maybe
educational
Washington.
And contact groups, and it's more kind of helping each other on, you know, does somebody else have a source on, you know, on the new changes in Social Security this year, or, you know, we're looking at the Medicare changes that have come about on these new regulations. Who has a source on that, or who can tell me about elder abuse? And I do a lot of that kind of exchange just to give the reporter a range of reporters a range of sources. And, you know, frankly, just having those opportunities to cross-fertilize with each other socially, get to know each other, and feel that you're not isolated. So
we came
together around those issues 23 years ago. I'm still amazed to think it's lasted that long.
There's 1,000. I was told by you, Paul, that there's 1,000 journalists now, and I'm one of them.
Right.
And I want the listeners to know that one of my great sources of wonderful guests is Paul and his merry group of over 1,000 journalists. But, Paul, we're going to come back in a moment. I want to talk about a couple other things, maybe one of my pet peeves. Ageism in America. And what we're doing about it as journalists, and whether or not the publishers want to publish stories about aging. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
Okay, very good. Is there anything, Paul, that you want particularly to get out, or any websites that you want the lay audience to look at?
Well, the audience is welcome to take a look at our GBO News website. It's Generations Beat Online for the Journalist Network on Generations, and it's GBO News as one word .org. And you can go and, you know, click on and you'll see the current issue and can look at the archive. And the other one, I think it's really important, is New America Media, as one word, .org, newamericamedia.org. Now, that's our New America Media website. It covers all kinds of issues, but you'll see a menu there at the top and on the left side, and you can click on Elders and just scroll through 10 headlines per page, and you can click on and read any of those articles on a wide, wide range of issues in aging.
Perfect. Okay, we're going to go back again. I'm going to do a little introduction. It doesn't have to do with you. You'll see, and then we're going to go right back to you.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. Now, I have concocted a little contest. You know that I'm a very competitive person. If you've been listening to the show, you know my personality comes right out. And BizTalk Radio, our syndicator, is building a house list. And I want, so that they can give discounts and information and education to their listeners, I want to have the show with the most per capita
per hour list, names on the list. So I'm giving something away. I'm rigging it. I'm rigging winning. My latest book, Fear Factor, False Evidence Affecting Your Retirement. Now, you can go to Amazon. You can buy it for $20, but I will give it to you free of charge. And that's going to be, because I'm going to show, look how many people are on our show's house list. All you have to do is go to Ronald, that's my co-author's name, Ronald Gelock, G-E-L-O-K, and associates.com/book offer. Ronald Gelock, G-E-L-O-K, and associates.com/book offer. And we'll see how many of you are responsive. You don't have to do anything. It doesn't cost anything. Nobody's going to call. This is a tool so that I can win and say, look, my listeners are the most responsive of everybody's in the syndication. I like it. Okay, Ronald Gelock and associates.com/book offer. Now, we've been speaking with Paul Kleeman, and he is the editor of Elders Newsbeat at New America Media, but he is also the head honcho at Journalists Network on Generations, which is a network of journalists like me in all areas that cling together, otherwise we'd be isolated, share information, and also a newsletter. So before we go on, I wanted to just quickly get your pencil and paper, since you have it out already. If you cannot get enough about news that has to do with you and your life, take a look at these two websites, newamericamedia.org, newamericamedia.org. You'll find information in a lot of news areas, but if you put in elders, you'll be reading those things that have to do with Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, aging, and so on. And gbonews.org, gbonews.org. Then you'll be reading what I read, Generations Beat Online, gbonews.org. Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Oh, just fine. I love your theme song.
Oh,
I had not
cute?
Heard that before.
If you go
I'm
to our website.
Inappropriate today.
Yeah. It's very well. Let me tell you, generationsboldradio.com has a 10-minute musical written especially for us. And that comes from there. And there are characters in it. It's an entire Broadway musical, 10-minute musical. So I'm very excited about that. We mix and match the music on it, and you've heard it repeated a couple of times today, but you'll like Granny. She's a rapper.
That's great.
It is great. So, Paul, you know, it's a serious question. Are publishers publishing stuff? I mean, is it easy? If you're a columnist, of course you have a column, an Age Beat column. But otherwise, is there a receptiveness to news about aging?
You know, it's increasing. I was actually doing just doing some email with one of our prominent members, Eileen Beal, in Cleveland last night. You know, Eileen is a leader in the Association of Healthcare Journalists also, of which I'm a member, and we they're coming up in 2 weeks. This year they're going to be in Cleveland with their conference. But we were kind of musing about the trends. You know, media is so much about trends. And, you know, we've seen over the years that new books will come out, a cluster of things will come out on a particular topic. The current topic for the last about year to 2 years has been on end-of-life care. And, you know, it's such an important issue. We love to see it, all of the different books and angles and issues, but you kind of wish there were more of a regular mix of different topics that we deal with. Right now, there are 5, 6, 7 books that have come out. I think it's one of the problems and the critiques of media that it just falls into these kind of, we call them trends, but sometimes the trends get so stuck they get into a kind of a rut on too much of the one thing at a time. But currently, end-of-life care, there's a lot of excellent books out there. I particularly liked Knocking on Heaven's Door,
yes,
by Katie Butler. And I actually, when the AHCJ, the health journalists, were out here last year, I had Katie on a panel along with Dr. Vijay Periyakoil from Stanford University and a couple of other people talking about, really educating the reporters. There's a, room full of about 50 reporters came and sat in, I think 50 or 60, to listen to, what you need to understand about the issues of end-of-life care and what's wrong with it in the United, and who's trying to fix things.
One of the wonderful things about what you do, Paul, and I include this in, you kind of behind the scenes, folks, is I read about this wonderful book in the GBONews.org, and of course I'll be contacting, and we'll have that author on the on our show. So, I mean, in one sense, it's very incestuous. We all know what everybody else is doing, and we use it.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is to break out so that the public knows what we're doing, and then they get a chance to read about it. And I personally will take up the gauntlet of writing more about finance and aging, and hope somebody else takes up the gauntlet with regard to housing and aging, which is extremely important and
not enough
out there. So before we leave, one last question. One of the things that happens in every area of aging professions is that the people in it are getting older. Are you finding young journalists coming in interested in this topic?
Oh, yes, and I meant to answer that question you asked me earlier. Yes, I am, and they are getting assigned to it. Just one of the things we do here at New American Media in our training programs is we're nonprofit, and we do get grant funding from different foundations to do training programs, and we've done a number of them on aging. I do one in particular, the Journalists in Aging Fellowship Program, with the in partnership with the Gerontological Society of America in Washington. We've done that now for 6 years. And over the years, I mean, this year we've had 30 journalists.
We're going to get cut in with time, and this is the worst part
sorry.
Of this show.
So we've had, just to say,
30
we had journalists from
they're inappropriate for our age. You know what, kids? Get out there. Make it happen. Thank you. It goes so fast. It's just crazy.
Oh, boy. I was going to say, we had journalists from their 20s to their 70s. I never got that.
Yeah, well, no, that'll get in because we're good at that. So, now, before we leave, where are you? You're in California, right?
I'm in San Francisco.
Oh, you're in San Francisco. Okay, because my kids live in L.A. now. That's brand
new.
Yeah,
so does mine.
Okay, and I get to go get there a lot, so I was just in Napa, but, more and more, it would be wonderful to touch base. And I would like to get more involved. I mean, I'm very, very busy with, we still run a financial and marketing business, so.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing our best to keep our hand in everything that has to do with journalism. As we move away from that, this is a true love of mine. So what's your take on, of course, I'll follow both sites, but submitting some of the work that we're doing, you think would be useful? You see, we don't have as much in writing as we have some extraordinary audio interviews.
And submitting it where?
Would it be interesting to the Journalist Network?
Oh, I see. Well, what I'm thinking of is, I love I didn't know about your musical. I think that's a great. I'd love to do a piece in GBO News. And telling, and then we can use that as a lead-in and let people know about all of what you're doing and where things may be available to them to contact you to see how you might connect. And I think I'm so glad to connect with you. It was wonderful to hear your voice pop up in that audience question Q&A on the Intelligence Squared program. And I just said, Adrian, I've got to reconnect with Adrian.
Well, I'm so glad. First of all, I read all your GBO stuff all the time. You don't know that, but I do it all the time. And I've had many guests on just because of what you have in there. And every one thing leads to another. From that that event, I then went to Napa, where I was speaking anyway on something on finance.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to be up in Northern California, if you're coming through San Francisco, definitely, you know, let me know, and I'd love to take you to lunch and or coffee or whatever and connect.
Well, for example, what happened there was, because I was in the area, I went over to the Bucks Institute.
Uh-huh.
And I interviewed Dr. Kennedy, Brian Kennedy.
Yes, uh-huh.
And he did a great interview for the show. So, you know, we've got a good 3 years of archived interesting information from interesting people. So
mm-hmm.
the best thing I can do is send you a little blurb about how this, exactly what happened. It's kind of a cute story, which I can write very quickly in one paragraph, about how this 10-minute musical
mm-hmm.
occurred, how it happened, and, you know, how we've used it with the radio and the resources that we could be to people.
Yeah, no, that's great. That'd be great to have. And I'm, you know, when I get it, I'll tune in and want to listen to it too. It sounds like just the theme you're using is lots of fun.
It is. Okay, so that's wonderful, and we'll talk
yeah.
soon. In a couple of days, you'll get something from me on that.
Okay, right? That's great, Adrian. Listen, have a lovely Easter weekend and Passover and all that. When is
Passover is a
I'm
while.
I'm so disconnected. I think I've missed Passover. It's like different.
No, that's coming up.
Coming
but you
up?
Missed with Purim.
Purim. Okay,
Purim.
There we go. Yeah, yeah.
The funniest that has ever.
I'm Jewish, but I'm kind of.
Out of yeah, again, I
go to the Church of Journalism.
Right.
You know?
What's new in financial journalism? Anybody paying any attention to that? You know, I've written so many books on personal finance, and I'm doing one on aging for the older adult. And I don't see much around, and that scares me because I agree with you. Publishers, they like clusters.
Yeah.
They don't
well,
like
you know,
one-off.
Well, there is a steady stream of, you know, books such as the ones you've done over the years, usually, you know, How to Retire, you know, Richer and Happier and what have you, on the financial side. So, they're sort of always sort of under the radar, just as, you know, journalism, when you're a journalist, when you're talking about, you know, I'm always looking at, you know, the lower half of the quintiles, as they say, of demographics. You know, there's real, you know, there really is a looming long-term crisis in
right.
this country, and it's got a lot to do with the 1% and the 99%. Because I just got this, you know, new study I'm just going to be working on, doing a write-up on, from the Center for Economic and Policy Research, and I'm glad they did it. It really is. The co-head of it, Dean Baker, is quoted a lot in the New York Times, Washington Post, and so on. He's a good friend and a great person. And what they did was to look at the high percentage of older workers, age 58 and older, who are doing physically stressful, demanding, grinding jobs if you're still in the workforce. And, you know, particularly there are a little more than 10 million people in the United States are, you know, if you can imagine being, you know, in your late 50s, 60s, even into your 70s,
right?
You know, including long hours in retail, standing there,
right.
You know, all the way to the construction kind of, you know, jobs, and you know those people are working very often because they're no, you know, pensions have reduced and all these kind of things.
Right.
So one of the things we've looked at is with the strain on the economy is how over the years it's really creeped up into really middle class, professional people. I know, you know, Adrian, I know so many people out here in San Francisco because I used to work back in the 70s. I worked in community arts and
right.
with so many artists. And so many of my friends who really were vital did wonderful, incredible, including arts management programs, and I'm thinking of one in particular, and he's telling me, you know, he's had to struggle to find a place he can afford to live. He never had, could afford to own. And you mentioned housing. I'm so glad you were looking at that. So it's just, I think it's a real issue, and people don't, you know, realize if you're working today with the lack of pensions, we need to do it. We need to strengthen Social Security, but you've got to be able to strengthen the way people can save and protect them from financial abuse.
You know, we do financial planning, and the people that we do financial planning for have money. They would not. Mm. They're not in the 1%.
Right.
But
yeah.
They're not in what you're talking about. However, you'd be surprised to know how many of them had their pensions cut. These are real pensions.
Yeah.
Not that they mismanaged their own 401ks. They were on pensions and they got cut. Mm. One of them got cut a third.
That happened to me.
It did, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been very fortunate. To talk about working later, I'm still working a full-time job in journalism, and I'm 70.
Yep. So, well, look, I'm going to be 68 in September, and I'm also doing a full-time job.
Yeah.
But we can do it sitting down.
Yeah. So my savings, you know, really got hit, and you know, first in 2000 and 2001, then it came back, and then 2008, and I'm very lucky that I got very nice inheritance that I didn't expect, a windfall that added to my retirement. But so I've got it, you know, in the hands of a very fine financial planner here in San Francisco, the Bay Area. But I know exactly what you mean. It's just, you know. And it's
really
scary every time you hear the, you know, market going 200 up today, they had ended 10 down, you know. It's crazy.
True. Yeah,
you're doing a lot of this. You have a pretty good how extensive is your practice then?
You know, I'll tell you, it's great, but I write a lot. I do a lot of ghostwriting. A lot of the books that are out on finance, I've actually written. And I got a little burnt out on doing my own book because the last one I did for myself was 2008. I've written hundreds of articles, and I've written three ghosted books. And two of them just came out, actually. One isn't out yet. If you ever see anything called Logical Investing, that's me, but it's not by me. It's Barclays Bank. And Stifel and all that, but I'm getting energized because I'm learning the difference between after retirement and preparing for retirement. So I'm actually thinking of doing an after-retirement book. Everybody does the pre-retirement book.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to do the post-retirement book. So let's see.
Good.
I
think that I haven't even thought much about that, but that's it's great. You know, for any with the titles when they're coming out, be sure I know ahead of time because I can, as they're heading into release, so that I can announce them in GBO News.
Okay.
And,
we have
let
two
people...
in release, so I will. I'll let you know when I send you that. I'll send you those two.
Okay? Absolutely, and we'll give people the connections and get you into the GBO fold here.
Right.
Again,
no,
you're reading it, but I need to get you into it.
I want to. I will send you that.
Yeah.
One of them I think is great, particularly because it is interactive. When you finish reading, you can go on to websites and take a class. I mean, it's all free, and take calculator and all the kind of things that people need guidance on. They usually have to go to a financial planner who wants to sell them something first. And this way they could do it by themselves first and be well-armed. So I like that book. Oh, that's coming out. I will send that to you. Okay?
You know, one of the issues, you got to go. So
go ahead. One of the issues.
I was just saying, one of the issues, actually, I was doing email with a couple of friends. I'm sure you know John Wasik at New York Times and Forbes and whatever. He's a great guy and author of so many books. But, we're talking about this. It really bothers me that the whole area of long-term care and long-term care insurance has fallen to financial advisors who really don't understand the healthcare side. They're not trained in that. And, you know, it's a real problem because people don't understand still in this country. They think, oh, I've got Medicare. I'll have Medicare. No, you don't have.
Right.
You'll have Medicare, but it doesn't, as you know, Adrian, it doesn't cover long-term care.
Well,
and,
you know,
so the... But so the underlying issue is that this country does not have a comprehensive long-term care system, and with the insurance, which has become, you know, difficult and dicey with so many MetLife and so many companies pulling out of it, leaving, you know, Genworth and a couple of others, it's sort of gotten to be it becomes a discussion with your financial advisor, and that's not where that should be.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things, and maybe I'll give you a little paragraph on this one.
Yeah.
Financial gerontology is a big thing in my life.
Yeah.
When people come to me, and I say, you know, I'm not a big fan of long-term care. It's extremely expensive. It has a lot of issues. And there are also other ways to skin that cat. But I say, look, what's important about it is not when you buy it, it's when you use it. Your financial planner may know very well how to help you buy it, and not for their own purposes, but for very good purposes. But you wait until you have to make a claim. Then you need somebody who not only can make the claim for you, make sure it goes through, but help you know who should you hire, when should you hire, what's the right assistance program, on and on and on. And that's not the health people, and it's not the financial people. It's yet a social service component that's missing here.
Yes,
absolutely. I think about this a lot, Paul, a lot. And it's,
you know, and it,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's crazy. And that's one of the challenges for journalism is getting people to understand that, you know, I mean, what you just described is almost, you know, the description of how you start a small business.
You just want to
make sure that your care will be there, and you suddenly have to do all this research and thinking, and there's all this risk and worry. It's crazy.
It's true, because this is the confluence between money and caregiving. There's a lot of books on money, and there's a lot of books on caregiving, but there's no books on money and caregiving.
That's
a big thing. So I'm hoping that this post, and it comes out more post-retirement life. So I'm hoping that will be one of the focal points. But we'll talk more. I'll send you stuff about the fun show, okay?
That's great. And quickly, tell me, now you mentioned your family in L.A. So you have grandkids at this point?
I have a 33-year-old son and his beautiful wife. They're married two years.
Nice.
And they live in Spring Lake, and they work for Disney.
Oh, okay.
And
that's great.
I have a 24-year-old daughter who's a casting director.
Mm-hmm. That's,
my voice is going.
Yeah, you're going into the to go. Okay. Yeah, well, my daughter's out, and they're in Lake Balboa out in the valley. Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. Take a moment and swallow some water.
Okay, I'll get myself a cough drop.
Okay. Anyhow, listen, take care, and we'll be in touch.